All right. We've been talking about positioned in and for success. How many of you know that God wants you to be successful? He wants you to be blessed. I mean, you read the whole Bible, even in the Old Covenant, God talks about the blessings of God. And then the Bible tells us that in the New Covenant that we have better promises. And of course, the better promises is that Jesus Christ forgives us of all of our sin. God comes to live on the inside of us. That never happened in the Old Covenant under the when we read the Old Testament. But now we can be born again by the Spirit of God. The same identical blessings that God had given to Abraham is the same blessings that he bestows upon us today, because all Scripture is profitable. The Bible tells us. In 3 John 2, he says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." Amen. And then he told Joshua, he said, "This is how you have true success." He said, "If you meditate in my word day and night." That's not only just reading something, but that is just kind of allowing the scripture to turn over in your heart, to bring to remembrance the things that God has said to us and through his word, but at the same time reading the word, meditating in the word. He said, now if you do this, he said, Joshua, he said, you're going to make, now what's this? Make your way prosperous and you will have good success. You will have good success. God never created failures. Never. We kind of do that on our own when we make decisions apart from his word, apart from his will. And it's kind of easy today to get out from underneath his will and pursue our own will or pursue something else. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, because last week, the last scripture we left on was this, when I talked about being positioned in church and how important church is. And in the day and the time that we're living in, church has almost become irrelevant to people on attending on a regular basis. There's a lot of indifference that has to do with church. The Bible even gives it a definition and describes what will literally happen in the last days, because something will abound around us in such a manner, in such a capacity, in such a way that it's going to take our hearts away. Sometimes we get divided hearts. And the Bible talks about that. And the Bible says, don't be double-minded. You know, because a double-minded man receives nothing from God. So it's important that we understand, why do I come and sit in here? What is the purpose? What is the meaning of what that I am pursuing inside a local church? And if you didn't, if you were not here last week, go up, get the podcast, because I gave a lot of definitions concerning that. I want to concentrate on this particular area right here in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 25. We shout for God's word. It says this, not forsaking, I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Bible, not forsaking our meeting together as believers for worship and instruction. What are two things that he says is very important when we come together? Worship, because you're coming to worship God. You're not coming here for a song service. You're not coming here just to sing a couple of verses, and you're here to worship. That is part of our worship. Of course, worship is a lifestyle. It's more than just singing songs. But at the same time, we praise our God. We worship our God. And then we get instruction, because the Bible tells us that we get the Word of God, get the Scripture. That's the reason Paul told Timothy, preach the Word only. You don't need my opinion. You need God's Word. Because God doesn't watch over my opinion to perform it. God watches over his word to perform it. Amen? So it says, not forsaking our meeting together as believers for worship and instruction as the habit, and the word habit, I put in parentheses the definition of habit, a regular tendency, practice, routine, or pattern that forms a particular characteristic or behavior. It's also something that we do on a constant, repetitive motion, direction, something that we do and we repeat over and over again. And the more you repeat it, the more you're going to establish a habit. That's the reason that I gave you the example of us giving the multiplication table and how we say 2 times 2 is 4. How did we learn that? Because it was repetitive. We did it over and over and over and over again where we can function and we can do math. Amen? So it says, not forsaking of our meeting together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. Encouraging one another to what? Encouraging one another to attend church. That's what he's talking about. Encouraging one another not to get into a place that you become very indifferent about coming to church and hearing the word of God and bringing our families, those of us that have families and have children, bringing them to hear the word of God. Not only in here, but over in our children's ministry, they're being taught the word of God. In our youth ministry, junior high, they're being taught the word of God. On Wednesday nights, discipleship classes, we are hungry for God's word. We want to go deeper with God. We don't want to be shallow Christians. We want to go deep. We want to build strong foundations in our life so that when trouble comes or issues come in our life, we're not going to be wimps. We're not going to whine and complain and moan like most of the sports athletes that we have today that are making umpteen millions of dollars and I didn't complain and whine. I just want to slap somebody. That was the flesh. That was not the Spirit of God right there. So I'm sitting there. You know, the only sport that you don't hear men whining and complaining, UFC. Because if you're going to get into that, you ain't going to be no whiner. Boxing, UFC. I mean, you don't hear them whining and complaining about anything. I love it. You got a man that runs out there and catches a football for $45 million. Well, I don't like the way the helmet is. Take that helmet off. Is that the craziest thing you've ever heard? You know, I'm sitting there going, dude, you're making $45 million a year. Shut up. You got to be kidding me. I'm meddling now. Suck it up. That's exactly right. Get out there and hit somebody. All right, here we go. You can tell I taught the men yesterday. Yeah, we talked about slaying giants. So part of that's still in here. Anyway, he says this, and he says, but encouraging one another all the more faithfully as you see the day of Christ's return approaching. Now, what we need to understand and see, because we don't want to get caught up in this, because there's a lot of people getting caught up in this, we want to make sure that we are not in decline. We want to make sure that we're all of a sudden not being pulled like a magnet by this world into other things, that we are getting away from the best habit there that is with our spiritual priorities in our lives. So, does the Bible warn us and tell us that there will be a gradual, watch this, a gradual departure from the Christian faith before the return of Jesus? Yes, it does. Jesus himself warned us in Matthew 24, 10 and 13. Of course, the whole chapter of Matthew there in Matthew 24, you need to read that because the Bible is the only book that prophesies and tells you what's going to be happening in the world before Jesus returns. And if you hadn't been keeping up with it, everything he said in there is happening, but it's not happening in isolated events. It's happening in multiple events everywhere. There's more earthquakes going on right now, volcano eruptions, all kinds of, it's all in there. How about pestilence? Look at all the stuff that's going on. That's prophesied before Jesus returns in the Bible. It is not in the Quran. It is not in Buddhist teachings. It is not in anything. It is in the Bible, the Word of God. Amen? Are y'all awake? Okay. Talk to me. Jesus said this. Now watch it. He said, and many will be offended. Now that word, you have to understand the definition of that word, because that word does not mean that somebody hurt my feelings. Listen to what this word says. Jesus said, many, many. That word many in the Greek means many. It means multitudes. Listen to what, and many will be offended. That means this, I put in parentheses the definition, enticed to sin and stumble. Enticed. The enticement to sin is out here, okay? It's what I see, what I hear, what I touch, what I feel has to deal with my five senses. Enticed to sin and stumble. A displeasure or disapproval of what is being said or taught. That's crazy. In the last 2 years, I've never seen this amount of people getting up and leaving. And every time I say that, people don't get up and leave anymore. So, just for this service, I have never seen so many people, when I start reading the Word of God concerning our behavior and conduct, I've never in my life seen so many people in the last 2 years that will get up in the middle of a message and take off and leave. You know why? Because they become offended. Offended why? Offended how? Offended by the Word of God. Not offended by me. It's offended by what God's Word is saying to them. And here's what happens. When God's Word comes out and it brings conviction to the lifestyle that I'm living, if I can do one or two things, I can repent of it, or I can say, I don't want to hear this. Because when people get under conviction, if they don't respond to it, they leave. They get upset, they get mad. Okay, and the Word of God is the only thing that we have that instructs us and talks to us about our behavior. And it's the only thing that God has given to us that we can look at and evaluate the way I'm living and look at the Word of God and say, am I obeying God or am I not obeying God? How simple is that? And then responding and saying, God, I love you more than anything else. And if my life does not line up with what your word says, I want my life in alignment with your word. And I repent, Lord, forgive me. And I will turn, what is it, you know, when I turn from something, I walk away from it. And I said, that's not going to be who I am. That is not who I am. And that's not the way I'm going to live. I'm going to live the way you've told me to live. I'm not going to allow my flesh to dictate to me the way I'm going to live. I'm going to live being led by your spirit, not driven by my flesh. Amen? So he said, many will be offended, enticed to sin and stumble. A displeasure, it means a displeasure or disapproval of what is being said or taught. Rejecting delegated authority and the authority of the scripture. We see that today. There are denominations today that are rejecting a lot of what the Word of God says about perversion in lifestyles. Rejecting that. And we even have one of the largest denominations that's in the world, especially right here in the United States, that right now there is a divide and a split, and they're splitting over perverted lifestyles. And the Word of God is very clear. You know, God came to deliver us from all sin. He didn't come to deliver us so that we could continue to live in sin. And a lot of that has to do because grace is being taught in a way that it literally is giving permission to moral compromise. And grace, that is not the grace of God. The grace of God empowers me to be able to live. Not that I'm perfect. I can make mistakes, but I'm not out there looking to make a mistake. I love God and I fear God too much. And the Bible says, if you love me, you will obey me. So if you obey your flesh, ask yourself, who am I in love with? Because you can be in love with yourself more than you love God. And you can be in love with people you run with more than you love with God, than you love God. We've got to get to the place that we love God with all of our heart, with all of our strength, with all of our mind, with everything that's in us, that we love God. And if you're going to make a decision to do that, then there is no place for wimps. I mean, this society, it's too soft now. That's the reason I'm so glad that God sent me to a military town. I'm telling you right now, you're not going to go out TDY somewhere where there's terrorists and other thing and be soft. I mean, if you thought that you joined the military just so you could get an education, I didn't know people were going to be shooting at me. I mean, you're in the wrong field. Amen? So, and it's the same thing with Christianity. Same identical thing. Well, I can't believe they're saying something about me. You see what they put on Facebook about me. I don't even see me. Didn't that? Hush. Stand up and be who you are. Quit being namby-pamby, wishy-washy, fraidy cat. Get some backbone and stand for what you believe. Be the man and woman of God that God called you to believe. If you got kids, let your kids see that you stand for something. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor next to you and say, it's going to be rough today. It's going to be rough today. So, I think the sign that it was what this Sunday was going to be like was that wind that came through here the other night. You better be. Let me move on. So it says, rejecting delegated authority and authority of the scripture. God says a lot about honoring delegated authority. You may not like the person that's over you, but you are to honor authority. The Bible says that. That's the reason our nation is there's so much mess in our nation today because there's so much rebellion. So much rebellion. I know what that is. I was raised in the 60s. I know what that's like. I know what that spirit is like. And the reason that the devil stirs up so much rebellion is because he knows this. He knows scripture, by the way. He knows that a nation divided cannot stand. He knows a church divided cannot stand. A family divided cannot stand. So he wants to bring division. So we've got to be in harmony and unity. Unity, that's what God came and created is unity, not division. So he said this, Jesus again said, many will be offended, enticed to sin and stumble, to displeasure, disapproval of what is being said and taught, rejecting delegated authority and the authority of Scripture. Now watch this, and will betray one another and will hate one another. Have you ever seen a time in our nation where there was so much hate? And it's growing. And it's having an effect upon the church. It is amazing. So, what does the Bible say in 1 John the 4th chapter, verse 20 and 21? If anyone says, I love God, and hates or works against his Christian brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Let me get over here and get myself over to the New King James. I was on the Amplified Bible. That's the reason I love technology. It's awesome. Let me get over here. Okay. So the Bible says this. The Bible tells us that there would be people that hate one another. Then Jesus says this in verse 11, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Again, I've never seen a time where Christians are following after so many false prophets. Let me tell you why. Because so many Christians today, turn your neighbor and say, now he's not going to be talking about you right now. I've never seen so many Christians, listen to me, turn your neighbor and say, it's going to get rough. And I'm telling you, it's just going to get rough. I've never seen a time when so many Christians are so lazy, they don't want to get in the Word of God for themselves. They want to go find somebody that will give them a word. And so in doing that, you find yourself being deceived, because a false prophet is not somebody that has horns growing out of their heads that looks like a devil. A false prophet can give you scripture, tell you all kinds of things, but the fruit of their life and their character does not line up with the Word of God. And that's the key. That's the key. And that's how they deceive you. And people can deceive you, especially if demonic spirits are operating in that. And the Bible says there's going to be an increase of that. That's the reason in Matthew, the 7th chapter, Jesus made this statement. He said, many will come to me and say, Lord, we cast out devils in your name. We prophesied in your name. We did signs, wonders, and miracles in your name. Watch the next statement that Jesus makes. Jesus said, depart from me. Wow. Depart from me. I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. And you're going to find out what lawlessness is in just a moment. But you who practice lawlessness. So in other words, these people were having miraculous signs, wonders, and miracles, and things were happening, but their lifestyle and what they were doing outside of ministry, outside of the pulpit, outside of the four walls, their life, what they thought was being hidden and nobody knew it, God saw it, Jesus saw it the whole time. And that's something in my own life that I'm constantly guarding and looking at. I do not want to stand before Jesus. No way. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. So he said, many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound. In other words, lawlessness is going to increase. But now one thing that I look at that is, I look at it like this. If that is happening, that means that there's going to be more people to get saved. More people walking in darkness. More people that are being beat up by a sinful lifestyle. Empty, unfulfilled, with no hope whatsoever. And I'm like, yes. I'm not yes that lawlessness is going to abound. But inside of lawlessness abounding, I'm going to be, praise God, there's a harvest. There's a harvest, a great harvest. So he said, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many, and the word love there is the word agape, and that is the love of God. And you can't have the love of God unless you're born again. So he's saying this concerning Christians. He's saying the love of many, the agape love of many, will grow cold. Notice that it doesn't get cold overnight. It grows that way, progressively. In other words, people are progressively, without even knowing it, the frog in the kettle when you turn the heat up. They're gradually indulging in, kind of messing around a little bit with sin, a little bit here and a little bit there, and then it increases. Because just like Jesus said, it develops a habit. And so he says, the love of many will grow cold. Well, watch this. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. So, what is lawlessness? And how can a believer get deceived into lawlessness? Let's listen to 1 John the 3rd chapter, verse 4 and 6. The Bible says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. What does sin mean? Sin means to miss the mark. That basically is the definition, to miss the mark. What is it? To miss what? To miss God's mark. To miss the way God wants me to live. To miss the way God wants me to serve Him. The way God wants me to have my behavior and my conduct. To miss that. And that's the reason that we have the Word of God. See, because we have the Word of God, when we stand before God, there will be no excuse. And I refuse to be a pastor that people can stand before Jesus and say, Pastor Al never told me that. That's the reason that it's important to preach the whole counsel of God. So he says, whoever commits sins also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested. Listen to this. Jesus was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Verse 6, whoever abides in him does not sin. Now you have to understand the tense of the verb there concerning this. In other words, in the original Greek, this is the way it reads. Whoever abides in him does not continue to sin. Does not continue to live a lifestyle of sin. It doesn't mean that there's times that we're going to make mistakes. We've all done that. But again, I'm not out trying to plan it. I'm not out seeking it. You know, I can get upset and say something to somebody and then, Lord God, forgive me. I repent, just like I did a while ago, wanting to slap people. And so you just say, forgive me for doing that. And as soon as I get through preaching today, when I go back between the services, I will say, Lord, forgive me for what I said about trying to slap somebody. I need to pray for it. Okay. So he says, and you know that he was manifested to take our sins away. In him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not continue to live a lifestyle of sin. Whoever sins, that means whoever continues to sin, has neither seen him nor known him. Let's look at Romans the 6th chapter, verse 11 through 14. Is it okay if I give you a lot of scripture? Amen. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free, and to keep you free too. Romans 6, chapter verse 11, because we want to see this. We want to know, how do people get into lawlessness? How do we get into sin? Think about Adam and Eve. Perfect environment. Had everything. And all they did is concentrate on what they didn't have. So in Romans 6, chapter, the Apostle Paul says this, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, because you are alive, because Jesus lives on the inside of you, the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you, he says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. In other words, what he's saying is, you're going to face temptation. You're going to face things in your life that is going to entice you to take you away into sin, into lawlessness, which is the opposite of the way God wants you to live. But here's what he's saying. And by the way, with this, because sometimes you see with your eyes, it can stir lust up on the inside of this flesh. There can be responses. Well, if I feel like that, then, man, should I engage in that? Should I do that? No, that's your flesh. Your flesh is not born again. Your flesh is corrupt. And so that's the reason that when there is the resurrection, this flesh will no longer have corruption. It will be incorruptible. It will be a glorified body. And that stuff is not going to be dwelling there anymore. But now, things can be stirred up on the inside of you. That's the reason that when people get delivered from certain lifestyles and things of that nature, all of a sudden they can see something or somebody can say something to them, and there can be a feeling on the inside that pops up. And here's what they say. Oh, wow, if I'm really saved, why would I have that feeling? Because the feeling is not in your spirit, it's in your flesh. It's in your flesh. and you do not let your flesh rule and reign with you any longer. Because here's what he says. He says, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, in this body, that you should obey, watch this, obey it in its lust. So you're going to have feelings. You can see things. You can hear things. And all of a sudden, it can inflame your very being. And that's where you got to realize that that flame is coming to take you in a direction that you do not want to go. Trying to take you out of what God. And that's where you take dominion over that and say, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. So, and do not present your members as instruments to unrighteousness, to sin. What members? He's talking about your whole body, your eyes, your mouth, your hands, your feet. When temptation comes, you can't see there, I don't know what came over me. Yeah, you do. You know exactly what came over you. The demonic spirits can try to influence you. Your flesh rises up, and you've got to recognize that is not who I am anymore. I will not allow that to reign in my mortal body. And he says, don't present the members as instruments. In other words, you've got to be careful what you put before your eyes. You got to be careful who you hang out with. You got to be careful who you hook up with. You got to be careful who you're listening to. You got to be careful who you're running with. You got to be careful what you watch on your computer and what comes up on your phone. And what you are going, when it comes and there's a strong thing to watch something on TV and you know you should not watch it. And you cannot say, the devil made me do it. He can't make you do nothing. The devil does not have the remote control in his hand. And on your computer is a delete button. Everybody say, delete it. Delete it. Delete it. Delete it. It says, but present yourselves to God. And by the way, block it. Man, you go out in the sun and put a sunblock on. How about putting a block on the flesh? Amen? So he says, but present yourselves to God, being alive from the dead, your members as instruments of righteousness of God, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but you are under grace, and grace is the empowerment for you to be able to live the way God's called you to live and do the things he's called you to do. Because it is the spirit of grace. And again, I want to bring this. It doesn't mean that things won't pop up on the inside. They will pop up. You can look with your eyes and see something, but don't start planning things. Your flesh will want you to plan. You'll end up in adultery if you're married. You'll end up in all kinds of situations that you don't want to get yourself into. And the next thing you know, you're in it, and now it's blinding and it's deceiving. And you're like, how did I get here? It's because of what you were enticed to do, the way you were feeling, and you're giving over to the flesh. As a born-again believer, you've got to realize the flesh does not have control over me. It does not have control over me. And I've got to put it in its place. And if you keep your mouth shut, it will grow. If you don't pull that weed out, you go back the next day and there'll be 10 of them. You put a cover over two rabbits and come back in 2 days and there's 10 of them. And you're sitting there going, how did this happen? It's biology 101. How did it happen? You know exactly how it happened. If you didn't want to have any more rabbits, you don't need to put the rabbits together. I hope that's not over your head. It's the same thing when it comes to this. Listen to this real quickly. I'm gonna close. I hadn't even got anywhere near close with my notes. They're all up on the web, though. You can finish all of it. Listen to this. So how do we get into lawlessness and things? 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verse 14. Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. It does not mean that you're going to work with unbelievers. You're going to be in the malls. You're going to be doing jobs and other things with people that are not believers. But the reason that you are there is to be light and salt to them. Not that you're trying to impress them so that they will accept you and run with you, but they're going to watch your lifestyle. They're going to watch you, the way you live, the way you conduct yourself, the way you talk. They're going to watch that. They're going to listen to that. And they're going to see that there is a difference with you. But you've got to have backbone to live like that. You've got the power of the Holy Spirit, but you've got to make a decision. Bless God, come hell or high water, if I'm the only one, I will live like that. I will do what I'm supposed to do. Hey, folks, Noah did it without even being spirit-filled or born again. Joseph did it when the woman was trying to get him in bed, trying to hit his best because he was a good-looking young man. I know how he feels. No, I'm just. I'm just teasing. I'm in trouble when I get home to tell you that. I didn't, honey. So, listen to me. What did he say to that woman who was trying to get him in bed? He said, "How can I do this and sin against my God?" His love for God was his motivating factor. And ladies and gentlemen, he was not even born again. He didn't have the Spirit of God living on this side of him. But he was so sold out to his God that he was going to do everything. And look where God took him. He didn't take him there overnight. A lot of things happened to him. But he would not give up his relationship with God. Don't be unequally yoked. You're going to work with people, but they're watching you. You're not there to be like them and to fit in. You're there to stand out. To be light and salt. Not that you're self-righteous, but you're just living the things, and you're not ashamed to tell them, "Hey, why don't you run with us? Why don't you go do this and do that? Man, don't do that anymore. Why? I got born again. I love Jesus." When are we going to get to the place that we can say to people, "I love Jesus"? So he says, so what fellowship has righteousness? In other words, it means you work with them, you're around them all the time, and you're there to be salt and light, but you can't run with them. You can't run. Listen, when I got born again and got saved, nobody had to tell me this. I just knew I didn't need to go to the bars anymore. I just knew that on the inside. You know, that's not who I am now. And then I really got my mind full of the Word of God and began to see who I am and what God said. And so in 1 Corinthians 15:33, he says this. He said, "Do not be deceived." Again, there's deception. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. In other words, what he says is, you know exactly what's going on in the world and how the world operates and how the world does, but you don't have the knowledge of God. Ladies and gentlemen, just listen to me. You got to be hungry for God's word. You got to be hungry. And the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you, but you've got to make a decision that I'm going to develop habits that are based upon God's word. And I'm going to grow that way. And the younger that you are and you develop those habits, you're developing a lifestyle of success for your life. But you're going to have to be strong in this day and time that we live in. You're going to have to make the right decisions. You're going to have to stand for what you believe. And this is a day and a time that people are seeking for people to walk and to live in truth. They want to know that this is real. They're tired of religion. They're tired of fluff. They're tired of fake. They want to see real. And more than anything, God wants to see us being the real sons and daughters, men and women of God that He created us to be. Again, it's not that I'm perfect, but I have to look at the Word of God. Because if you read the Word of God like I just gave it to you this morning, you will see exactly what I was reading, and that I don't want to present my members to unrighteousness and to sin. I want to live the way God's called me to live. I want to be a light, and I want to be salt in the world. It matters to me what God thinks about me. It matters to me. I've got an incredible responsibility of the way I live my life because of you. And I take that very seriously. That's the reason I set boundaries for my life. But I set boundaries for my life way before I was a pastor. I want to bring honor to the name of God. I don't want God to be ashamed of me. I don't want when Jesus comes back that He's ashamed of me. I want to live my life that when He comes back, I'm like, yes, and I'm not, oh, gosh. That's the way I want to live my life. And I've made a decision a long time ago, if I'm the only one that lives it, I'm going to live it. Because I honor God. Because of what He saved me from and how He delivered me. And I do not want to go back. For no man, no woman, no place, no thing, I'm not going back. I'm going forward. I'm advancing and I'm going to live. And I am not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed to pray for people. That's the young man I prayed for just 2 days ago. At the gym. I'm not ashamed to pray for people. And it's not because I'm a pastor. It's because I may never see that person. I want to pray for them. And why would somebody want to pray for me anyway? What about when I want to pray for people and they don't even know I'm a pastor? What about when I pray for people and invite them to church and they come and find out that I'm the pastor? Because I love God. I want us here at this church to love God. Love God more than anything else. And be hungry for the things of God. And not allow the world to destroy us and take us away. I want us to be on fire for God. But not to be self-righteous. Not to put people down. Not to look down on people and treat them in certain way. You got to remember where you came from. What God delivered you out of. You say, amen.